Psych me out. Think outside the norm and become the best you. Diving into your own thoughts and questioning your actions. The law of attraction is the basis for all your thoughts. You use it every day, but you don't even realize it. What is the law of attraction, you may ask? Hold on to that thought.
Last time on the Psych Me Out podcast with DJ Nuts. Self-love is just all about having a high vibration for yourself and having that positive attitude, that positive lifestyle to go hand in hand with the law of attraction.
What's going on? This is the Psych Me Out podcast with DJ Nuts. This podcast series is brought to you by the Communications and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Thanks for clicking on to episode 3 of the Psych Me Out podcast. Last time I talked about self-love and how it was important to one's emotional state. And of course, to how it all ties back into the law of attraction. So if you missed out on that, make sure you click on episode 2. Also, to keep up to date on the newest episodes coming up, make sure to follow us on Twitter at psych_LOA. One more time, that's psych_LOA. But for today, on episode 3, we are going to be discussing Dale Carnegie's self-help or life book, whatever you want to call it, How to Win Friends and Influence People. The book was published in 1936 and has sold over 30 million copies worldwide and was ranked number 19 on Time Magazine's list of the most influential books in 2011. Now, I bet many of you are thinking right now, why should we care about making friends and influencing others? Well, a lot of ideas from motivational speakers, mentors, other self-help speakers base their ideas off Carnegie's book. The ideas might seem like common sense, yet so many people look over them. It shoots right over their head. It might be basic and super generic, but I ask of you all to really pay attention to what is being said and be open to incorporating these ideas or thoughts into your life. These ideas were pulled off Clark Kegley, that's K-E-G-L-E-Y, on YouTube, who has given his own book review of Dale Carnegie's How to Make Friends and Influence People. So make sure to go check out his YouTube channel. That's his name, Clark Kegley. Now, Kegley discusses 10 ideas from Carnegie's book that we should try to apply into our life. So I'm going to give you 10 tips. So tip number 1, become genuinely interested in other people. And a quote right here that he pulled, and I want to share with you all, it says, "You can make more friends in 2 months by becoming interested in other people than you can in 2 years by trying to get other people interested in you." People love talking about themselves. This is so true. We think about the stuff we are going to say and whether the person we are speaking to will like what we are saying. Will they laugh at it or seem interested by it? You are making it hard on yourself. Talk to them, but talk to them about them. If you want to influence others and make friends, to have them interested and like you genuinely, seek interest in them. When I am trying too hard to make friends, you get that weird vibe that you are trying too hard. Just introduce yourself, shake their hand, smile, and ask them about themselves. Then see where that conversation goes. I bet it'll go the right way and that you just made a new friend. Boom! They talk about one topic, which will lead to another. They'll feel like they're just being themselves and will be more open to you. This is exactly to how I speak about the law of attraction. This is an example of it. Like I have said before, let it come naturally. Don't not try, and don't try too hard. Get a balance. Put in your genuine effort and let life handle the rest. The key to tip number 1 is to be genuinely interested in the person, and the key word is genuinely. So tip number 1, be genuinely interested in other people and get them to talk about themselves. Tip number 2, let the other person feel that their idea is theirs. When you are with a group or in a leadership position, let others take credit based off the success you are having. Quote, it's amazing what you can accomplish when you don't care who gets credit for it. And if we can push away from our own ego and let other people take credit and make them feel that their ideas are their own, then they'll feel like they get all of these great ideas when they are around you. That makes them want to hang out with you more. Now, this is a great idea that Clark Kegley brings up in the video, and for someone who's podcasting, to always put in my mind. When I'm interviewing someone, the one job you have to do as a host, and that's your only job when you're interviewing someone, is to make your guests sound amazing. That'll make your show. They'll want to come back on, speak about your show, promote it because you did a good job. Whatever idea is being discussed, make it sound like it is theirs. Basically, be the hype man, saying phrases like, that's a good point you made. Can you elaborate more on the study you brought up? Or an example for my show is that I had a fighting show, so a question I could have asked was, you're right, he's known for this type of fighting technique. Do you have any suggestions on how he'll change his game plan for a particular opponent? Now, I'm giving as much credit to Clark and Dale here because I don't care that I am presenting their info and reiterating their points. I'm trying to emphasize their points. This topic interests me, and I want to share their knowledge to you. This obviously isn't my idea or study, but it's sounding like I know what I am saying. So I'm giving them credit, and I don't care about that. That's exactly what this tip is saying. Tip number two, Dale Carnegie is trying to say with this tip is give the person credit that whatever they are saying is their own original idea. Tip number three, talk about your mistakes before criticizing the other person. Clark talks about how he's used this when interviewing people again, but I believe it can be applied when meeting someone new. When discussing a topic, Clark wanted to open it up and let the interviewee feel right at home. So he shared something vulnerable about himself, and by doing so, that'll make that person more likely to open up to you. Now, I know there's this fear of oversharing, and I've done so myself where you share something really personal about yourself and you end up not really speaking to that person ever again. So make sure that what you are sharing is vulnerable, yet something you don't mind being out there in case things turn. When you're in a leadership role and trying to give constructive criticism, make sure you share a time you messed up so that person does not get so defensive and take it the wrong way. I see this in good professors, leaders, good-hearted people. They really don't want you to take it the wrong way, and they say that they've done the thing wrong as well. And whether or not it's true, you open up more to their criticism and are less likely to be defensive per se. Now, I see this on the opposite end of the spectrum as well. People who are bad individuals, bad professors, leaders, people who are just jackasses who love to point out the stuff you mess up on and pounce on you. I see it with the professors I have here at school, both sides. And I love the professors that are genuinely giving feedback, and at the same time, I can also tell the types of teachers that are just being dicks. Now, two key words here in the English language is and but. Use and instead of but. Here's an example. I can see that you have worked so hard by staying up late working on this paper, but if you make just a few revisions, it'll be even better. Now, versus when I use and. I can see that you have worked so hard by staying up late and working on this paper, and if you just make a few revisions, it'll be even better. You see how it shifts the tone a little bit? It's small, yet makes a huge difference. The first one, when I use but, it seems that, oh yeah, they did all this hard work, but yeah, there's still room for more improvement and they should do this to better up their paper. Versus the and part, where that student feels like motivating their own selves with and. The teacher isn't saying but, he's saying, and if you just make these few more revisions, it can be even better without actually having to physically say it to them. The magic of using and instead of but is truly amazing if you know how to use it correctly. So with tip number three, talk about your faults before criticizing others. Tip number four, dramatize your ideas. If you're giving a speech, a presentation, any type of communication, find a way to implant your ideas into other people's heads. When you're reading off the script or you're speaking, you feel the vibe of the audience. You can usually tell if they are interested in what you are saying or not. You have to break from the script sometimes and improvise to get the point across. Jamie Oliver's TED Talk speech about sugar and obesity is a great example. He talks about how sugar is in everything, all types of food and beverages, and how it's bad for you. We get it, we've heard that a lot, and we know what's up. He then goes back and says that we already know this and brings out a wheelbarrow full of sugar and dumps it out. Then he says, this is how much sugar we are intaking in a year on average per person. Now the latter gets the point across, right? That stuck with me. There are really great ways in which you can dramatize one's idea to get your point across. Using visual aids, metaphors, stories to dramatize your point. Get creative. And ads are great with this. There's this Heineken commercial out with this Formula One driver, Jackie Stewart. And back then he was winning constantly and he'd be offered a drink after his victories, but he always declines it. And fast forward to him being an old man, he's just leaving a party and a butler just offers him a drink. And he says, waving his hand, saying, no thanks, I'm still driving. He then gets in his car and drives away. Then on the screen, the words pop up, when you drive, never drink, Heineken. And that stuck to me. They could have done statistics on screen to get their point across, or talk about a sob story in which someone died from a drunk driver, but they did it in such a clever way. They used a characteristic that a person had before not drinking, coming from a popular athlete back then, and they used that to come up with this clever commercial. So with tip number four, dramatize your ideas to get your point across. Tip number five, talk in terms of the other person's interest. Now an acronym here is WIFM, W-I-F-M, what's in it for me? This is a question we ask for everything in life. What are we going to receive and how are we going to benefit from the experience? As the speaker or persuader, you have to put yourself in the person's shoes that you are trying to influence. Know the answer to WIFM, what's in it for me, for them, and use it in your sales pitch. If you are trying to influence someone and get a point across, frame it with WIFM in the back of your mind, because that will draw their attention. They are likely to get more hooked into what you are preaching or selling. You don't realize it on social media. When you're tweeting or posting a picture on the gram, people ask consciously, what's in it for me? The number of likes or hearts you get result in the gratifications from the person and how it relates to them. Is it funny? Do they find it attractive or cool? The receiver, how is the message intended and does it satisfy their gratification? So for tip number five, talk in terms of other people and ask, what are they getting out of what you are saying? Tip number six, get the other person saying yes. There's a psychological principle that states people are more likely to agree to your request if they have agreed to something smaller before. And going hand in hand with this is a theory known as the Ben Franklin effect. If you agree to someone's favor, it is proven that you are more likely to like this person you did a favor for. Hence, why people continue to agree to your requests if you have asked them for a smaller favor beforehand. Basically, ask for a small favor, then the next time you ask that person for something, increase the level of the favor. For example, ask someone for a piece of paper, and then the next time, ask if you can look over their notes in class. To a higher degree, if you ask a class to sign a petition for animal rights, a few people will say yes. those same people, when asked if they would be willing to spend their Saturday volunteering at the animal shelter, will most likely say yes again because they already agreed to sign the petition. They get the feeling of being involved with animal rights and they want to do more to help out. If you can get them to say yes the first time, you can get them to a desired outcome of whatever you are asking them the second time. In terms of advertising, this is key. Email marketing is a great example of this. Agreeing to give a company your email, they can send you emails about the latest items they have in stock. You probably love that company, so you're more likely going to buy their product. It sounds a bit manipulative or controlling, but go ahead and test it out. I guarantee you'll get a yes if you apply this exact theory. So for tip number 6, people are more likely to say yes if they have agreed to a smaller request beforehand. Tip number 7, give honest and sincere appreciation. This tip speaks for itself. It's right in the tip. I mean, what's better than being that honest and sincere to get people to like you? Nothing else, right? A suggestion is to give one awesome, sincere compliment a day to someone. I want to try this out, and I challenge you all to do so as well. Now, when I say challenge, I mean to only do so if it is sincere and genuine. If you can't get one in every day, then don't do it every day. Just make sure you really mean what you're saying. There's a difference between flattery and appreciation. Make sure it is the appreciation part. It's said in the book that flattery is of the tongue, while appreciation is from the heart. Honest and sincere doesn't have to be a long soliloquy of you complimenting how the person is dressed or looks today. No, it doesn't have to be extravagant. Less is more, as long as it is sincere and completely honest. So with tip number 7, whatever the compliment is, make sure it is 100% honest and sincere and from the heart. Tip number 8, give the other person a fine reputation to live up to. If we have or give a person a certain type of identity, people tend to conform to it. Take this for example. Instead of disciplining a kid and pointing out what they did wrong and the consequences they have from their actions, we can give them a reputation to live up to. And I know it's how we were brought up by most of our parents in society. For example, stealing will lead you to getting in trouble. You're going to jail if you do so. We can discipline a kid by giving them a reputation and saying, "Hey, you just stole this bag of candy, and this is not like you. You are a leader, and leaders don't do this type of stuff. I expect better things from you." And kids will get that in their mind and act accordingly to what you said. You'll see behavioral changes almost immediately within the next few days, and you didn't have to do anything. You didn't have to punish them or suspend them from school. Kids will feel guilty of their own selves, and they'll take action to change their behavior. So with tip number 8, give the person a reputation to live up to. Tip number 9, the power of identity. The two most important words when talking about yourself is I am. This works for both positive and negative. To change how we think about things, we have to know what we identify with. Just like with the law of attraction, and going back to this simple theme, is if you think certain types of thoughts, feelings, or emotions, you are more likely to attract that type of experience into your life. A negative I am statement is, "I am too skinny, I am too young, I am too broke." And in positive I am statements are, "I am able to accomplish anything I put my mind to. I am not the type of person to follow others' behavior. I am a warrior and can push through any obstacle." Again, positive affirmations will result in you having a different outlook in life and enjoying it. The point of this is to become conscious of your feelings and what you identify with. Tip number 9, be aware of your identity and what you believe in. So with my last tip number 10, say my name. A person's name is their favorite word and is music to their ears. People love to hear their name, and if you say their name and take time to remember it and say it in the conversation, it'll seem more personal, more intimate, more genuine and real. It's just better. Say people's name even if you are good friends with them. If you remember someone's name, they are more likely to listen to you and remember the last interaction you two had if you are seeing that person again. An example of this is Bill Clinton, being known for having a good memory with names. Clinton remembered a friend of Clark Kegley's who was at a dinner with him and remembered the last three things they spoke of the last time they met. And Kegley's friend recalls Clinton always looks you in the eye and shakes your hand and says your name. So make sure to do so as well when you're meeting someone new. And sometimes you have to repeat that name three times to really get it into your mind. So do it if you have to. Part of the energy that Clinton exerts is the ability to remember someone's name and to be present, to take the effort to even do so. It shows that you are in the moment and are genuine in the conversation and really trying to meet this new person and really getting an interaction with them. So with tip number 10, my final tip, say the person's name you are speaking with to have a more genuine and meaningful conversation. So those are the 10 tips from Dale Carnegie's self-help book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. So just to recap, the tips are: become genuinely interested in other people, let the other person feel that the idea is theirs, talk about your mistakes before criticizing the other person, dramatize your ideas, talk in terms of the other person's interest, get the other person saying yes, give honest and sincere appreciation, give the other person a fine reputation to live up to, be aware of your own identity, and say the person's name. By incorporating some of these tips in your daily life, you're not only helping yourself improve to be a better person, but you are setting an example to how others should live their life and continuing to spread the message of make you the best possible you. What you think, you create. What you feel, you attract. When you imagine, you become. Thanks for tuning in to the Psych Me Out podcast. Make sure to tune in for the next one as I continue to make you the best you. DJ Nuts signing off.